God willing, in the weeks ahead between now and Easter, we'll each Sunday evening be looking at some very practical things that the book of Proverbs can teach us. The passage that I just read from Proverbs chapter 10 contains, as you will have seen, and as we've mentioned previously, a number of different themes within that one passage. But if I tell you that this evening my message is entitled Mind Your Language, you'll realize particularly which of those verses are the ones that introduce our theme this evening. Many of the problems and difficulties that arise in our relationships are the result of something that has been said. Now, wrong actions are also often to blame, of course. But I suspect more often it's over something that has been said. I think that's probably certainly the case in churches, which is why the Bible has so many warnings and plentiful instruction on how we need to mind our language. I want to highlight this evening three aspects of wrong speech, which are mentioned in the book of Proverbs, and conclude by considering what the correct approach and attitude ought to be. We're going to look this evening at lying, slandering, gossiping. Let's begin with lying. And we're going to see a number of different things. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. What would you rather be? An abomination or a delight? Now, words like abomination tend to be used only when we're talking of those sins which seem particularly vile and offensive. Homosexuality, for example, is a particular sin which often has the word abomination attached to it. But we do well to note that all sin is an abomination to God. It's true that some sins seem more unpalatable and some will be judged more harshly. But all sin is actually worthy of this description, abomination. Perhaps you think something as trivial as telling a little lie is hardly an abomination to God? Well, his word says it is. Now, we all know what telling a lie is, don't we? Saying we didn't when we did. Fabricating a story to cover up our backs or to shift the blame. The basic things that children so quickly and without our help learn to do. It's an abomination to God, but there are other forms of lying too. Often they're much more subtle. As we get older, we get good at trying to convince ourselves that certain forms of behaviour are not really that bad. But the book of Proverbs unveils other forms of lying. For example, it talks about living a lie. We read in Proverbs 10, at verse 18, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips." What does that mean? It means that he who pretends to be a friend and outwardly behaves as one, but is actually putting on a facade of deception, is a liar. Do you have a grudge against another and refuse to resolve it, but carry on as if everything's okay? The Bible defines you as a liar. That kind of behavior is an abomination to God. That's why the Lord Jesus himself urges us to go and sort it out with your brother quickly. Do it now. Get it right between you. Because that kind of behavior amongst us is an abomination to God. There's another kind of lie. Promulgating lies, encouraging them to spread, in other words. In Proverbs 17 and verse 4, we read, "An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue." One who is prepared to speak a lie becomes eager to listen to the lies of others and encourage them. And we encourage it to snowball. When people hear another speaking out of turn, will they give them an ear, or will they rebuke and silence them? Now, people who encourage by giving that person an ear, they're doing the devil's work for them. If ever another asks for your ear in order that they might speak to you spiteful things, then you must rebuke them. You must silence them. We're warned here that speaking deceitfully and behaving deceitfully often go hand in hand, because lies often have to be accompanied by false conduct in order that the lies don't come to light. And then such false conduct leads to further lies in order that you can cover up your false conduct. And so the tangled web of deceit grows and grows. Another lie to cover up another bad period of conduct. More poor conduct to cover up the latest lie. And so it goes on. Perhaps you are currently caught up in such a web, and it's starting to dictate to you. It's starting to ruin your life. It's starting to run your life. You're constantly looking over your shoulder, covering your tracks. The longer it goes on, the more complicated it becomes to keep on top of it. And you know that it's only a matter of time before the whole thing comes crashing down around your ears. It's time to stop. It's time for confession of your sin. It's time for repentance. It's time to put right those wrongs. And then fourthly, there are self-serving lies. Proverbs 20, verse 17. "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel." To gain things by dishonesty, to trick people into giving you what you want, and it can happen today in many different ways. You buy something, and then you accidentally break it. You take it back to the shop and say, "Well, it was like that when I opened it." You have some kind of accident. You have an insurance policy upon which you can claim. But you claim for far more than just the accident. Making bogus claims from the state for welfare payments. Fiddling your expenses at work, being rather economical with the truth on your tax return. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man. Indeed, it may taste sweet for a while. But the Bible, first of all, calls it an abomination, and secondly, promises that one day the sweetness of it will actually choke you to death. Now, all these things, as we continue, the things that we've looked at already, the other things that we're going to consider this evening, all of these things are an abomination because they are completely contrary to the nature and character of God. And nowhere will you see these things in the life of Christ. The fifth thing, self-justifying lies. Here's an interesting couple of verses. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows and death is the man who deceives his neighbour and says, "I was only joking." Ever said that? Ever heard people say it? Only joking. Ever suddenly realise you've been caught out and had to backpedal fast and thrown this one out in the hope that they'll take it? Only joking. You suddenly realise you've not got away with it when you thought you had. Too late. The damage is done. The act is committed. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. You see, it's a question of righteousness over wickedness. Righteousness and truth go together. But those who practice false witness and deceit, the Bible calls wicked. Now, in modern parlance, to be called wicked to some is actually a good thing in some areas. But God has an altogether different meaning of wicked. You are one who doesn't know God and are deserving of his punishment. One who is righteous in Christ and living truthfully has the promise of eternal life. But the lying tongue of the wicked will soon be cut short by the judgment of God. How do we measure up when it comes to the issue of lying? The Bible has all the points covered. Now, the second issue in minding our language is the issue of slandering. Now, slander is to say something about someone which makes your hearers think worse of that person. And it's calculated to do just that. It's intended to do another person harm rather than good. Now, it doesn't matter whether what you say is true, and it doesn't matter if you think they deserve it. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:18, "Whoever spreads slander is a fool." Whoever does it. It doesn't allow for it in certain circumstances. It doesn't say it's justified in certain circumstances. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. And in Proverbs 16 we read, "An ungodly man digs up evil." Well, that's a calculated thing to do. That's something that you take time to do. That's something that you expend energy in doing. An ungodly man does that. And it's on his lips like a burning fire, says the scripture. The Bible is very clear that such behavior and such talk is the work of the ungodly. And it says whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, a fool in the Bible is not just a silly person. It's not just like a clown. The Bible says that the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." That's what a fool is. Are you a fool? And we must also consider this. Remember that it's digging up evil. How can that have any place in the Christian church? Digging up evil. In Proverbs 25 we read, "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance." And here's the thing about slander. It won't only harm the people you're talking about, it will damage you as well. You cannot embark on such behavior and retain a Christ-like character or a faithful witness. Now, these might all be the kinds of behaviors that you experience from others who aren't believers, perhaps in your place of work, or even if in your family, if you've got many family members who aren't Christians. But none of these things should ever be found coming from the lips of a Christian. And then the third issue that the book of Proverbs addresses is the issue of gossip. Well, what is gossip? Well, Proverbs 11, verse 13 is very, very helpful. It says this: a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Gossip is going around bearing tales. So, Fred chooses to share something with you. And you then take it upon yourself to share what Fred has told you with Joe, as if that information is now yours to make that choice with. Now, if you've got Fred's permission to go and tell Joe, or if Fred has made it very clear, well, I really don't mind who you tell, or actually has actually said, well, yeah, please do let others know so they can pray for me, well, that's a different matter. But for you to simply take what Fred has said and now treat that information as if it's yours to do whatever you please with, the Bible calls you a talebearer, one who goes from house to house bearing tales. Now you might turn around and say, well, they didn't say it was a secret. Doesn't matter. They chose to share it with you, not with another. Or maybe it's not something you've been told. Maybe it's something you've seen in someone else. Something that you found surprising. Something that maybe you found disappointing. And you decide that others need to know, so that they too can be surprised or disappointed in that person. You're a tale bearer. Are you someone who considers yourself to be a faithful spirit? The Bible is crystal clear. A faithful spirit conceals a matter. That's what God's word says. Well, if the Bible's so clear, why do people gossip? Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Because, you see, let's be honest, we all love a bit of gossip because it tastes so good. She didn't. Have you heard? You'll never believe this. Oh, have I got something to tell you? It tastes so good, says the Bible. But like lots of modern food, pumped full of fat and salt and additives, it tastes great. Eating it can be a pleasurable and satisfying experience, but it's of little nutritional value. Which is why the Bible thirdly teaches that the results of gossip are never good. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer — that's another word for a gossip, it's a word that the Apostle Paul sometimes uses in his epistles for gossips — a whisperer separates the best of friends. Even the best of friends, their relationship can be blighted and ruined by gossip, because this friend has told that friend, and they thought that friend was a faithful spirit, and they thought that friend would conceal the matter, But they didn't. They went and blurted it out to everyone else. And their relationship is ruined. If you're tempted to share something that you know about someone with another person, you should ask yourself a couple of questions. Think about the person that you're going to talk about. Ask yourself, how will this help them? Will it do them any good? Think about the person you're going to talk to. Ask yourself the same questions. How will this help them? Will it do them any good? Perhaps you're tempted to say, if perhaps this is something that you're guilty of, well, I told the other person so that they could pray for them. Well, good. How often, having told a tale, have the two of you then immediately knelt down and prayed for that other person, if that genuinely was your motive? Well then, fourthly, how should we treat gossip? Well, Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. If you don't give them an ear, they've no one to tell. It's a very simple equation. We really need to be careful. The tongue is a powerful weapon. There's much teaching in the New Testament which matches what we've read here in Proverbs. James warns forcibly and vividly about the danger of the tongue. If you're not familiar with it, it's only a short epistle. Read it towards the end of the New Testament. Paul warns about gossips and whisperers in his epistles. When he wrote to the Thessalonians, he urged them to live quiet lives and mind their own business. Now, sharing your own cares and worries and needs with another believer? Absolutely. Bearing up another person when they come to you with their cares and their worries and their needs? Absolutely. The Bible positively encourages that. But going from one to the next, bearing tales about someone else, absolutely has no place in the kingdom of God. We need to mind our language. Now, in conclusion, does the Bible just tell us what not to do? No, of course it doesn't. It also tells us how to get it right. So let's also make sure that we take heed of the great encouragements that there are in God's Word about how to get our language right, how to be wholesome in our speech. Let me read you some Proverbs. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is! There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So the scriptures positively encourage us to be wise and wholesome and overflowing in good speech. How wonderful words of truth and help and wisdom and encouragement. What joy and strength and comfort and support and good counsel they can bring. But let me bring two verses to you. I want you to listen. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. And Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Whatever you know, you must use it rightly, because even truth can be used wrongly. I was seen this afternoon enjoying myself at a party with two blondes. But if I fail to also tell you that I was with the rest of my family, one blonde was my sister-in-law, and the other blonde was my little niece who was celebrating her third birthday, you could get completely the wrong impression with the piece of truth that you've just been told. Pastor Ian has been seen enjoying himself at a party with two blondes. Not a word of a lie in the statement, but quite the wrong impression altogether. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Do you get the point? You'll sometimes see boxes, won't you, with the words fragile, or this way up, or handle with care, printed on the side. Truth and knowledge are to be handled with care. They must be used rightly, or great damage could result. And as I draw to a close, I want to just bring three other verses from the book of Proverbs to your attention, and I want you to notice a very special and important link that the Proverbs make for us on this issue. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. We've had that one. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Notice how in those three proverbs, the heart and the mouth are linked together. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 17, listen to the words of Christ. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? It's talking about food. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, our words, come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You see, if God has recreated us and made us new, if God truly has given us a clean heart, if he truly has put a right spirit within us, then our words and our conduct will be channeled from our heart towards godliness and righteousness and truth and wisdom. And the believer considers their words before they're spoken. The believer weighs them up before they are spoken. How do we study to know how to answer and what to say? Well, we study God's word. We make sure we know it. And we look and listen to the voice of Christ, who is our greatest example. And we heed his words and we follow the things that he said. But we weigh up our words and we consider the effect that they're going to have. We speak measured words, words of wisdom and of truth, words which will encourage, words which will uplift, words which will edify, words which will provide good counsel, good advice. I want to leave you with what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his second epistle, chapter 2, the final two verses of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Now, writes Paul, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're brothers and sisters of Christ together. Wherever you go, whoever you're with, mind your language.